Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Emmeline Castro of Channeling Emmeline, and we're back for another episode. We're beginning this podcast for the year. I took a year off, but this is a process of personal development. The road to enlightenment, the inner work, gaining clarity. You know how they said you need to do your own work? And you're like, I don't know how to do my own work. That's why you go to therapy, so that they could teach you how to do your inner work and they can guide you. Well, I created this process because I'm a counselor. And then, so I know how to do the inner work, but I also need to do it for myself. So this is a process where I can get my clarity, get my confidence, understand my purpose, my path. And so even those of us who guide others have to do our own work as well. And that's just because nobody else can give you the nuances or the opportunities for you to just follow yourself. Often you're following somebody else's process. This process is my own, curated, created, cultivated, whatever. But it is by me, for me. So this is just an option if you've decided in 2024 that you're going to command your life, design your life, or get in alignment. You know, I like to say control and command. That's that's where I stand in creation, but often I find that it's alignment and surrender, but this is the process that works. So I'll tell you a little bit about what I do, and then I'll just get in and do it. Because I'm showing up for myself, I make it pleasant. I'm doing this in the morning. Nothing's really conflicting with my schedule. I get a nice cup of coffee because I make it pleasant and I enjoy my morning coffee. Hazelnut, yummy. I sit in a lotus position with my legs crossed, and I use imagination, visualization, and creativity. So imagination is where I go to get the information. It's kind of like this trance-like state where I can look within without being influenced by that which is outside of me. Imagination, because I can create something from nothing. Imagination, because I'm not going to the books. However, all of my education and my experiences and my passion for learning do come into play. But not when I'm receiving. Receiving is almost non-participatory on my end. I am catching the ideas, right? This is what artists do. They go into a place and they listen. They tune in. And what they receive is what most people see as their creation. But imagination is where I go to get it. Visualization is how I get it. So some people get a feeling, some people hear things, like I see images and I kind of get walked through them, like in my mind's eye. But I see images throughout my life. I've always seen visions of the future. And even when I was young, it was that I've always heard that I have a vivid imagination. As a child, that I have a vivid imagination, meaning I can create a reality in my mind's eye, and then that impacts how I live in the physical world. And my vivid imagination is because I see my future rather than just think of my future. It comes to me as a life already lived, and then I try to reverse engineer it, which becomes my creativity. My life, the way I live it, is my creativity in interpreting those visions. I'm reverse engineering them to make them a reality. In my channeling process, I see the visuals from my imagination, and my creativity is how I express them. And I speak out as if I'm talking to an audience, but really it's an audience of one, because I'm speaking to Amalyn, my physical self that's not necessarily connected to that imaginative space. So when I listen to the podcast later on, and I do listen to my podcast multiple times. Sometimes I'll even go back after a long time from recording one, because it is my teacher. It is the way that I learn from myself. So when I listen to myself, I get little nuggets of wisdom, and then I can integrate those into my life and my daily processes. So I'm doing this for me, with me, the highest expression of me, so that I may have a smoother flowing life. Okay, so imagination, visualization, and creativity is how I do this. Now, there's a million ways how to get clarity and confidence in your life. This is just in alignment with who I am, how I teach, how I guide, how I counsel. This is my work in the world for others, so it's my work in the world for myself as well. So I start with the breath when I get into the space to be able to channel for myself. And the breath is the only way that I know how to get into the now. So if you're saying be present out of your thoughts, be present in just listening and tuning in. Be present in confidence that there's a relationship, you know. You have to tune in, right? You have to be there. Kind of like if there's a partner with you. You can't just go willy-nilly about your life without acknowledging their existence, right? The breath brings me to the ability to recognize the existence of my highest expression. So I take 4, 7, 8 breaths. I breathe in for a count of 4, hold it for a count of 7, and breathe out for a count of 8. And I do this 3 times, and it drops me in a trance state, just a really centered state. From there, I ask, I use my visualizations to see myself sitting in the trunk of a tree. I am a tree. In the base of the tree, the roots grow deep into the earth, like it's going through my body and harnessing me to the planet. It just reminds me that I'm a human having a human experience. I'm just disconnecting from it or voyaging a little bit into my imagination. But I am a human in this shared experience. So the roots really help me ground my being. From there, I use the visualization of the treetops, the leaves in the tree on the left-hand side. These are the tools that I use, by the way, to get into this space. I have to visualize the tools to ensure that I'm there. It's like a checkbox, right? Like a checklist. First, do I have unconditional positive regard? Do I have unconditional positive regard means, do I have love? In love, there is no separation. There's no this or that, meaning one being better than the other. It just is. This is that, that is that, but there's not a judgment. Not one is better than the other. It's an acceptance of what is without the separation. And if you really think about all of these conversations humans have had about God or about the unknown, it's a oneness. And in order for you to get into the space of all-knowing, of alignment, of imagination, I need to go through love. I can't get there if I'm divided, because when I receive something, immediately I'll start to fight it and it kicks me out. So by being in unconditional love, you can be there fully, right? It's just like with any human. If you're in unconditional love, you don't judge them and push them away. You could be there with how they present. So unconditional love helps me be there with what presents, even though I don't always understand it or agree with it. Sometimes it challenges me. After I'm in unconditional love or positive regard, Then the other tools that I use is faith, and I use faith like it's a dirt road leading to a cliff is what I see in my imagery. And faith is my willingness to walk this path of the unknown. I have to have faith that everything that I receive is in my highest good. I don't go in and fight because I have faith that this is right for me. Do I know? Only from experience and patterns of receiving the things that were beneficial can I say that it is in my highest good. But I don't know the future, so I must have faith that I will receive more of the future as I have in the past, right? So that is faith. I'm willing to walk. I'm willing to do this work in faith. The final thing is surrender. I can't control this process. When I try to control this process, it just becomes my ego spitting out my patterns, and I can tell the difference. I can feel the difference, the fight in me for some kind of protection, right? I'm in resistance, will come back up. So I have to surrender into this work and surrender into the love, surrender into the faith, surrender into receiving. I like to take control in my life. I think it was a protective thing in growing up that nobody else was going to take care of me. I got to take care of myself. So I am very forward-leaning when it comes to control. And this process allows me to let go of that control. Surrender requires that I let go of the control. The other thing that I have is a white light that goes way up in the sky to way deep into the earth. Just a white light going all the way through me in the middle, which signifies balance. My expression is at its highest when I am in balance, when all of my gifts are primed and working at their highest. It's when I am in balance. And I don't know if this is for all humans, but I can tell you the Amelin expression, it requires balance. Because I could be so extreme in my experiences and I want to, get it all. Then I can get off kilter, let's put it that way. And this alignment just reminds me my highest expression is in balance. It's okay to go off balance every once in a while, but to know that I am doing so and then to return to this center. I see a candle on a plate, which represents my patterns, my programming, my ego, what I call it. Basically, if I'm living this avatar life programmed to exist in the game, I need to get that program out of the way when I'm working on my programming, right? So I don't want to show up in my old programs while new programs are being received. So I just visualize that candle on a plate and as my programming, and I say, I'm going to leave you behind. So you're going to go back through me. I bring it back through my body. And then over to the right, and there's like this wall that's there, like a brick wall. And I set it on the brick wall, acknowledging I'll come back for it. I need my spaceship to travel, right? And I need the avatar to play the game. But right now, I'm working on the coding, the programming. So I want to set that avatar aside, and then get some new stuff in. All right, so I'm going to see what today would be the topic. The things that have been most pressing, I guess, now in my life are the aspects of control. At least that's what I'm working on in 2024, is why do I need to control things so adamantly? The reason why I'm challenging this is because I'm often in defiance. When I'm walking my path or doing something, when something doesn't feel right, then I will resist. And the feeling right is not always just intuition. Sometimes it's my programming, and therefore I'm defensive, right? I'm trying to protect myself from something that isn't really there. I don't need to protect myself. But I have this innate program that I must look out for myself above all. And in order to lead community and to guide others, it's not about me. I know 100%. I've seen this role. I've seen myself in this role. And I am not working the Amelin agenda. I am surrendering into the agenda of this vision or shared, oh, I don't even know what word to give it, experience. And it's my role to get out of my way. So that's why control has to be put down. And it's so very difficult for me. I actually feel each instant now. I didn't used to in the past. It was automated. But I guess because I've been observing and watching the areas that are preventing me from being in my highest expression, I can feel them now. I can feel when there's something that gets a little scared inside of me or worried inside of me. And then I start to act as if I'm in a protection mode. Act as if I'm in a defense mode. Instead of just expressing. You know, when I'm in alignment and I'm not fearful, I don't check myself at all. I just express freely. So that's what I'll work on. So let's go ahead and get in. I just got my coffee and it's full. Darn it. Oh, well. Only because when I go inside, obviously, I'm not drinking my coffee. And then when I'm done, it's cold. I need one of those coffee warmers, or I should have put this in my thermos. I am aware that it will be cold when I'm done with it. Okay. I have a little bit of a stuffy nose today. All right, here we go. 4, 7, 8 breathing. Get into the space. And I'm just going to ask what's in my highest good to know and see what lessons come up, because I don't have a clue other than what I'm normally working on. So here we go. Stuffy nose. One more. Okay. Roots deep into the earth. Okay. Unconditional love, face surrender, alignment. Remove my ego. Okay. So what's in our highest good to know today? What's in our highest good? Anything that I come across or anything that is experienced is in the highest good of us all, is my intention. What's in our highest good to know today? And I'm just going to close my eyes and watch. So I'm sitting at a fire, an outdoor fire. It's like a campfire. I notice the difference of the warmth that's close to me versus the cold that's around me and behind me. It's much more intense behind me than it is to the sides or obviously to the front, because that fire is warming me. It's an intentional focus on the fire. It is the center of my attention right now. Though the back, my back is cold, I can feel it. The majority of my energy is focused on this fire. So I'm aware that there is something that is in contrast within me, yet I'm still focused on the front. I now, in my mind, I'm getting, well, you can turn around, right? I can turn around and warm my back. Yet I'm battling in my head. Yes, I can turn around and warm my back. But when my back is warming, all rest of me will be exposed to the cold. And I don't know. I'm questioning if it's a right move or it's a good decision to warm my back and expose all of my front just because it's uncomfortable behind me. I'm very much aware of this logical fight in my head. Do I do this or do I do that? Is this right or is that right? Am I making the wrong move with this? Am I making, so there's like all of this analysis that's happening in my head. I'm also worried that if I neglect it, so if I got the message that I don't need to pay attention to that which is behind me, I can just focus on radiating the warmth to what's in front of me. I'm questioning, well, what would be the harm in just spinning around quickly, like like a rotisserie chicken, right? I'm like, what if I do this? I'm trying to find a way to get my desires met as well as meet the pressing need. Oh, okay. So I'm trying to get what I want when delivering on what I need. And my mind is trying to come up with ways to make both happen. Is this good or bad? Okay, so it's just a process. I don't know why, but I'm seeing lots of people in a circle knitting. Okay, so they're all knitting something like a blanket. But I'm noticing it's in the middle, and they're all touching a side of it, right? So they're all working on the perimeter. And they're all knitting this blanket that's growing amongst all of them. But as I notice, each one is doing different stitches. So somebody's doing this loop. It's like, I don't know. I don't know anything about crochet or anything, but it's like this loop and around. And this other one is like loop, loop, unloop, loop, loop, unloop, like loop, loop, let one drop, go to another one. So they're all doing these different techniques, but they're all building this blanket or this thing together, and it's patterned, is consistent amongst all of them. So it's almost like there are unique ways to do it, but each individual is doing it in their unique way. Is there only one way for each individual? Oh no. So I just saw like almost like an exchange to the right. Everybody switches. So now this person is doing the stitch of the person to their left, and they've all traded. So it is a matter of you can change the way that you do it. You have your own way, but you can change the methodology. And it's still producing that which was intended. How do I know which one to do? Oh, it's almost like I had to listen to the pattern. So they just switched again and I saw it. I kind of got alerted to, hey, we're all switching now. Nobody said anything, but there was a movement. Everybody got in the synchronistic kind of up and we passed over and we all switched. You know, like there was it was like a flow that I could feel before it happens. It's kind of like when you do the wave at the sports games, you just know when to pop up because you're listening, you're feeling, you're watching, you're observing. It's like the hints, I don't know, the cues came to me and I just knew when to do it. Even though I did it in a different way, the intuitive understanding of when to do it came to me. I didn't create it. I just knew the right time to switch. Okay, I get this. Okay, so when do I turn and warm my back is the question I was having. And intuitively, I would know, okay, now we turn, like that rotisserie chicken. There's almost like a divine speed of turning, right? The chicken doesn't decide how often it turns towards that, or the heat's all around it, but it's like it turns, right? Just it turns. And what does it say? As the sands through an hourglass, these are the days of our lives. And I just see this thing turning and turning. And I don't have much control over the turn. Oh, I don't have control over the turn. But I feel as if I do. So, wow, that just came up as a huge illusion. I believe that I have control over the turn. The turn to me is almost like timing. When do I do this? When do I do this? And I believe that I decide when I do this. But I'm receiving that it's almost intuitive there's a rhythm of when I will do this. And it's required that I listen to this rather than choose this. I respond to this rather than initiate this. Okay, I get this. It's kind of like getting into the flow, and then it's not a mental thing. It's not, I can feel this when I teach. When I'm teaching my classes, I'm not intentionally doing, saying things. I'm in the flow of the knowing that this is what we're doing. I release my control and I get into flow. So a lot of times when I'm done teaching, the class is over, I actually come back. You know, my consciousness comes back and I was like, whoa, where was I for that, you know, time period? I'm able to do everything, interact, answer questions, facilitate, do things, but I am not in my head. I am in my flow. And so that transition from when I'm doing my craft to when I'm receiving my craft is the same energy, right? I'm in an expression of flow. I just let it go. And I guess that's the surrender that's required for releasing control, is you just need to into that flow, and then it will take over almost. Like I'm getting the feeling, the reminder of what it's like to be in facilitation of my class. There's no fear, there's no apprehension, it's just flow. It's like it comes with me. It's like a partner that's there with me and I can rely on them. I don't need to be what's happening and analyzing everything, because it's almost as if it's already plugged into the whole energy of the room without my needed control of it. Okay, so they're basically taking the experience that I have when I'm teaching and are trying to put me into that experience when I am making decisions in my life in the day-to-day. So it's like the surrender that I feel when I'm teaching in flow is the exact same surrender that I get into when I'm living my life. Why do I do it in the one, not the other? Oh, I have faith in myself. Okay, so in my class, I've been doing it for over 15 years, blah, 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 all this stuff. I have faith in my ability to, in my mind's eye, I am, I'm guiding a ship, right? I'm driving something. And I've done this so many times. It's kind of like when you're in your car and you can eat a burger or something while you're driving, right? You can do more things because less is intentional and needing you to put your immediate focus on. It's almost like this automatic pilot comes into play. And it's asking that I bring this automatic pilot out of my classroom and expand it into my life. Ooh, I got fear right there. And you know, where the fear came, which is interesting because it normally comes out of my chest. It's really deep, like right below my belly button, right there in my stomach, right below my belly button. That's where that fear came when I said, bring it out into my life. You know, that big surrender of faith that I have in my class. Can I bring that into my day-to-day life? And this weight right below my belly button just dropped. And what's the significance of that? It's survival. So, as soon as I said that, I get this nausea. You know, it's like, that's fear, this nausea. It's like, I can feel it. It's a survival fear. It's a, I don't know, this is gross. It feels like the outside of a worm is the only thing I can explain it of. It's slimy, it's gross, it's not solid, it's not flow, it's like being in cottage cheese or something, you know, it's like that gross. But it's the survival fear that if I am the same way in my life as I am in the classroom, then I fear for my survival. Why? Oh, okay, so this is a pattern. I get it. I get it why we're working on this. I see it. Because survival was my program. I did have to play this game to survive. To get to the point that I am now, I had to intentionally fight other forces within me. I wasn't fighting forces on the outside. I was fighting forces within me. So the survival aspect is only within me. It's not without them. It's not outside. It's a perception of survival. And I did intentionally have to fight those off. And now it's asking me that I tune into the outside because the inside can go on automatic pilot. It's like I'm not in survival anymore, even though I'm bringing that with me, right? The program from the past that I relied on so greatly is what I'm bringing with me into this new expression. And it's asking that I drop that expression. And I can feel it is heavy. It's like a big bowling ball right below my my belly button. And that is, it's like saying, drop this. You don't need this, you know? And a part of me is like, I'm like, I got my hands on it. And I'm like, oh, it's so heavy. How am I going to carry this? But I'm fearful to drop it. Because what would I be without it? I've carried it so very long. Oh my gosh. And then when I just open my hands and I drop it, it's almost like birthing a bowling ball, right? It's right below my belly button. I'm holding it there with my hands. And then I open my hands and it drops straight down. And that drop, it's a heart drop. It's a stomach drop. It's a oh fuck drop. You know, it's like, ugh. And then now it's almost like, you know how when you carry something heavy and you put it down, your arms still kind of feel like you're carrying it. So even though I've dropped this thing to the ground, this heavy weight of survival, I still feel as if I'm holding it, even though I'm not. It's not in my arms. I have the sensation of it. And so I'm being asked to, I don't know how to explain this. It's not give it up. It's not let go of it. It's almost like have faith that it's already gone. You know what I mean? Like I don't have to do anything just to know that I don't need to carry that anymore. My life expression is no longer one of survival. I have moved past that experience. And in order for me to flourish in this new chapter of thriving, I must let go of my old programming. Yeah. And the new thriving I see is very much about that attunement. It very much is alignment. It very much is flow. I do see the ease. It's like pulling me like a wind, right? There's no struggle. There's no resistance. It's just this flow. That's my thrive experience. It's coming. And the only thing that's preventing from it is that I keep picking up this bowling ball of survival. I keep doubting if I'm in the new chapter and going back to look at the old chapter. And all I'm being asked to do is to remain forward towards the fire, to keep the majority of my existence towards the light. Even when something behind me feels like it needs attention, it's uncomfortable, I know I can remove the discomfort. I am being asked to resist it by putting more attention on that which is facing the light. So I'm looking at this fire. I get the lesson that I'm being given right now. I do understand it. What is my resistance to it? It's interesting that as I'm, and this might be because I've done some previous releasing work on my resistance, that it's not as intense as I expect. The resistance to dropping this ball, the survival weight, is not as intense as I expected it. I'm just, it's a part of me is almost like, well, duh, let's just do it. You know, it's almost like fed up of me holding it or fighting for it. And it's like, let's go already, right? Like the, The image I get is like a sister and a brother, and the brother's holding back and kind of being a grump and just in a bad mood. And the sister's like, let's go, like they're at Disneyland or something. And it's like, let's go, let's go. She's full of joy. She's full of excitement. She's moving forward. And then this masculine energy is in the back going, no, we're not ready yet. I must check all the locks. I must do that. Like the masculine energy is pulling me back to that security aspect, and that feminine energy is like, let's go, let's go, let's go, ready to run, skip, jump, joy, you know? The interesting thing is I keep saying, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And it keeps saying, just let go, let go, let go. And it's that bowling ball kept dropping, dropping. So I do understand the lesson. Do I have confidence in my ability to do so? I have confidence on my ability to stay on the road as it happens. I don't know. Here's that doubt. I can feel it. Doubt feels like a squeeze in my throat, right? It's like, I don't know. It's like squeezing my throat. I don't know. I'm gonna say it. It's saying you don't even have to speak those words, but it's like the outcome, right? I fear the unknown, and that is what I'm struggling with, is I still, and that's that intuitive part. If I would lean into the intuition, I would not fear the unknown. My intuition is what tells me what is. Right? So I'm looking for the, I need to know, I need to know. But my mental mind, my intellect is used to serve my survival, right? That is what I relied on to get me out of that old experience of survival. And now that I've achieved that, and I am sitting on the cusp of this journey of thriving, I worry that the way that I traveled in the past is what was successful. And now I'm being asked to use a different way, and I fear that it may not be enough without it, right? So I want to bring my survival game into this new game because I've been using it so much. Oh, well, this seems so very, okay, I get it, I get it. This seems so very simple. It's just wrapped up in a lot of emotion. It makes sense. If I'm going on a new journey, let's say I'm going scuba diving and I just got through, snowboarding. I cannot go into scuba diving with the same process that I went into skiing. I must adapt some things. And one of them is being able to be in the water and tune into it. As I was on the mountain, tuning into that. There's a part of me that wants to fast forward to the end of this struggle, right? So I'm seeking what will it look like after I am fluid in the flow of thriving, right? What would it look like when the survival game is nothing more than a memory? I'm still on the cusp, right? I'm still looking at it. I just barely passed over that line. So a part of me is wondering what would it look like when I fully let go of the survival game and I'm only in the flow of the thrive. And what it feels like, because I can get into it, it's like fully being in the ocean, not at the shore. Getting into the ocean, there's a lot of waves and it crashes and it's hard to stand up and it keeps knocking me over. And it's kind of, it's interesting, it's fun. There is some excitement with each passing wave, but I'm not getting very far. There's a lot of resistance pushing me down and I just keep back getting back up. There's no way my butt is going to stay on that sand. I'm getting into that ocean. But now that I've gotten over the waves, and I'm deeper into the ocean, further out. It's almost like my body becomes a boat. It just flattens on the water, and I float with zero effort. You know, there's not waves, there's rolls, and it's like I'm one with the ocean. I'm not in resistance. I'm not trying to stay afloat. I am just floating with the ocean. It's almost like my body was meant to have this buoyancy in the space of this thriving place. Okay, I get it. There's not much more. My mind is like, okay, I guess it's like a kid that has learned, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. What other questions can we ask about it? You know, is it in front, back, side, side? It's all the same answer, no matter which way I look at it. I guess I can't dispute it or fight it. I'm just gonna, well, it's accepting it, right? It's so interesting. I'm out, by the way. My eyes open up and I leave. It's almost like I said, class is over. I got the lesson, go about my day. But now that I'm in the hallway, class is over and I'm reflecting on it. Why is it so hard in my mind's eye to do this when it seems so easy, right? Why do I make it so difficult when the answer is literally to do nothing? Okay, I get it. We just have to lean into that which is calling. And the survival game is a perception. I'm definitely not surviving. I mean, there's nothing in my being that is trying to exist in this world. I'm existing. I'm going to be existing for a very long time. So I don't need to create the opportunity for existence day in and day out. I can focus instead on my expression and that flourishing path. And it is about getting away from myself. So meaning getting out of my own way, what that means is a lot of times I stand in my own way when I need to survive, right? Because the highest expression of me, I don't surrender into until I'm surviving. When I'm surviving, then I have space to surrender into the highest expression of me. But survival comes first, right? I have to be a being that is not distracted by survival of day in and day out life. So I do understand that I need to give more respects to the journey that I just went on and appreciation for where I stand, that I do not need to concern myself with the survival game. And the way that I do that, I move on fully into the ocean, is to simply move that direction, is to simply surrender and have faith that intuitively I will know when I'm out of my own way and I'm not trying to survive the answers that I need to guide those that, you know, come in my path will just happen. It's me being in the protective side of me that prevents me from serving them because I'm worried about myself. You can't be fully in service to your purpose when you're worried about yourself, right? In everything that we know, whether it's in a game, a sport, whether it's in a challenge, an exhibition, a fight, anything. You can't win if you're worried about yourself. Am I worried about myself? I'm worried about, the only thing that worries me is me being me without the control. Because me being me with the control has gotten me everything that I needed in life. And now, in the next stage, it's saying, okay, put you down now. And I'm like, that's how we got here. But that's how we got out of the survival game. The thriving game is not about the self. The thriving game is about community. That's why I'm being pushed to learn community, is because it's closer to the oneness and away from the separation. All right. So we're going to go forth today and try to listen, try to. I always use try when I'm not quite there. You can hear me. I say, I'll try to. That means I'm not quite fully convinced of the possibility. But I will listen to my intuition. When I am in doubt, I will remind myself to get into the flow. I will remind myself that there's nothing to save me from. I will remind myself that I am out of the game that my programming still wants to play, like a phantom limb, right? I'm out of it. I don't have it anymore. Yet there's something behind in the programming that wants me to still experience it. And if I acknowledge all of that, then as I go through my day and I'm triggered to take control, then it would be much easier for me to, oh, okay, I get this game. Never mind. Sorry. Forgot for a second, but I'm back in. Okay. All right. I guess we're beginning to play the thriving game. Till next week, we'll just keep doing the work.